Luke, how do you feel about a plugin copying, and I put that in quotes, like another plugin?
Hi, Jonathan. There are particular rules around it for the plugin directory, if that's what you mean.
No, that's not what I mean. How do you feel about it?
Okay. I guess, to what end? If a plugin is copying another plugin and making a few changes because, you know, I would have preferred it done this slightly other different way, and then just running that locally, or, you know, running that personally, right, on a personal, yep, site, and great, that's within the spirit of open source. If, you know, if you have, say, put a bunch of effort into developing, I don't know, let's just throw out a random example. Let's say an e-commerce plugin, and we'll call it Big O Shop, just as an example. And then, yeah, somebody comes along and
hypothetically
renames Big O Shop to Shoe.
Do Commerce.
Yeah. And releases it, and not only releases it, but they have maybe Do Commerce has a bigger audience from some of their other work. I'm not sure if this is where you intended the episode to go, but maybe I don't feel quite so good about that.
Okay. So I'm struggling a bit with this here because, and I think there's a line between what's legal and within the context and the confines of the GPL, yeah, for instance. And there's also what's ethical. And I want to talk about that a bit because for me it's not cut and dry, and it's almost like I remember way back in the day I worked on a software as a service platform. This was 15 plus years ago, and focused on this particular set of functionality for like paywall for publishing, right? And a WordPress plugin came along. I won't name names, and it initially in an initial release literally like copied the HTML and CSS that we'd worked a bunch of time on for a particular like screen and like how the paywall functionality worked. They copied it, put it in there. Since then, it's much different. It's evolved and there's been more things. But I remember how it felt initially where it's like, that's technically fair play. The source code is public. They could copy it and they made some changes to it, but it just, something didn't feel right about it. And I've been trying to think through like what it is. I have an idea about what it is that bothered me there. And I think there's this, because
it's got to have something to do with the amount of change, right?
Okay.
If you don't make any changes at all, this happened to me. It also happen with WooCommerce. We had a plugin up, myself and Michael Visser had a plugin up on the WooCommerce store when it very, very first started,
okay,
Product Imported Deluxe. And the WooCommerce store wasn't giving us any sales figures. They didn't provide us with a dashboard. It wasn't everything we thought it would be. This was very early days, right? Within yeah, a few months of it launching. And so we decided after about a year of no updates to pull our plugin off of the WooCommerce store. And when we did that, they said, oh, okay, that's fine. And then they forked our plugin and put it up on the WooCommerce store with a slightly different name.
Oh, wow.
And just sold it directly themselves instead of us getting any revenue from it. So, yeah, that's sort of same thing has happened to me. But then also I've done that same thing to other people. I remember when I was maybe like 15 and learning to code and writing HTML and CSS. One time I had found a website that I really liked and I'd gone to that website, copied the source code, copied the HTML and CSS and turned it into my own version of that website and changed the text, changed the styles a little bit. And when I had finished with it, it was kind of different, but you could definitely see the resemblance. And I remember that this person who'd originally done it, they had a list on their website, which was a like a list of shame, I think they called it. And my name got put up there for copying his website.
All right. Well, I think, at least for me, the thing that's bothering me about this is attribution or the lack thereof. Because at the end of the day, it's not that someone copies something that bothers me so much. You know what I was thinking about? At WordCamp US, I got to watch as Miriam Schwab showed us the new Angie from Elementor. Have you seen it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It does a couple of things that I thought were quite innovative. It builds a sitemap rather than just like throwing you into something, so I could see some logic and reason to it. I thought, no, that's quite cool. It was unique from what I'd seen. And then, and I'm forgetting the name of it, but the repository just did a story recently. These folks came out, it was 10 web or something. They had this product that they made. And I noticed that when I was looking at the screenshots of the product, it reminded me a lot of Elementor and the Angie experience. And I haven't looked into it to know for sure. But up till that point, I hadn't seen something like that in Angie. And then I saw what they created. And to me, it looked a lot like what I had seen. And I don't know if it, you know, it's not like this was a, you could argue, oh, it's not that unique or whatever the case. What I would have loved to have seen is like attribution. If someone, I don't know. I've been wrestling with this a bit.
Yeah. I think there is a line with, is this inspired by, you know, is this, oh, we saw Angie and we thought we'd do something similar. And so we built it. Or is this completely just a ripoff entirely?
Right. And what it makes me wonder too is like where if there was a breakdown, where did it happen? Did a product manager say, hey, I want something that looks a lot like that or functions like that? And then designers, developers got involved and basically just like reproduced it without thinking that much about it. There's been some accusations recently about copying in the e-commerce space. And I think it's funny to think all the way back to the history of JigoShop and WooCommerce, right? WooCommerce today, I think we can all agree, is far different from what JigoShop was, like way back when the fork happened, right?
Right. Wouldn't it be good to go back to JigoShop now?
Compare. I don't know if we'd actually want to go back to it.
I think maybe it could even be a better product without all of the stuff built on top.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish, I reckon.
Okay.
I think for me, though, there is something here about attribution. Like, and I guess what I'm wrestling with is just in my own head, or do others feel the same, where it's like, hey, I know it's GPL. If I made something and you copied it, I think all I would really want is for you to just give credit to it as the source of inspiration and then take it further. And there's something that feels like a broken promise or a broken contract in this world of open source when something seems to clearly have been copied from, if not greatly inspired by something, and no reference to that was made. I remember when Awesome Motive came out with their code snippets product.
And oh, yeah.
To me, we talked about this a couple of years back. It pretty blatantly copied. There were some things that definitely looked different, but it very much copied the Code Snippets Pro product in terms of its roadmap and some of the key feature sets, in a way that it wasn't the copying that bothered me so much. And I think they've continued on since, but that they did it as if it was a brand new thing that drew no inspiration, that give no reference to there having been anyone else out there. That's the part that bothered me.
And we can't have this discussion without also mentioning the inverted commas fork of Advanced Custom Fields Pro into Secure Custom Fields.
Right.
Where they actually even stole the slug. But anyway, that's a clear...
That's a unique thing because it's not... Attribution wasn't the problem so much there.
So you said earlier, Jonathan, that there's been some discussion in the space about some e-commerce copying. I'm not aware.
So apparently, I haven't dug into it too deeply, but on X this morning, I noticed some folks were upset about some comparisons that have been done between FluentCart and SureCart. And SureCart, funnily enough, was actually... I don't know if you remember in the last episode, When you were talking about e-commerce, that this new product, SureCart was actually what I was thinking about.
I didn't
know their product all that well. I knew it was a SaaS, you know, kind of whatever the case was. And I have not investigated this. The accusation is that SureCart, FluentCart just like copied a lot of what SureCart did.
Okay.
And just decided to like take out the SaaS component and make it into WordPress. That's what I was understanding.
That is interesting in the context of Jigo and Woo, isn't it?
Right. And it's interesting, right? Because I don't know. And like, it does make me curious to look into it more. If someone is going to create an e-commerce product, you're going to draw inspiration from other things that have been done. And in a way, like that would be a compliment. Like, oh, we like these patterns over here. We're going to copy it. I think, because I have my own qualms with what the Automotive world tends to do with their things, right? So it was a little bit of Syed apparently came out on an X and was calling out people for copying them. And I was like, well, really? That's at least how I felt in the moment. I want to see good products come to the market, though. And I think the heart of what I'm wrestling with is this, can we tell a more honest story? Or can we give credit where credit is due?
Yeah, if FluentCart had launched and said, hey, we really liked what SureCart were doing, and we didn't want the SaaS component, so we thought we'd build it in to the WordPress database. And I think that's totally fine. You know, the browser I'm using as we record this is called Ungoogled Chromium. It's like my second browser that I use. I use Safari mostly, and then occasionally I have to use something like Riverside, which annoyingly won't let me use Safari. But I use this Ungoogled Chromium project, which is great, and it's making me think, maybe I can do a similar thing to WooCommerce. Maybe I can do like an unwooed WooCommerce. Get rid of all of the Woo store, get rid of all of the add-ons and upsells and integration things. It will still integrate with all of the plugins, but would you use that?
In a way that I don't know if I'd use it, but in a way, there's something that I appreciate that's more honest about that. Like ungoogled Chromium, you know what it is. Like you've made a choice that you don't want the Google connection, yet you're still acknowledging that it's like Chromium, right? And there's a lot of great work that actually does go into the Chromium like project. And but there's something about, it's almost disappointing when you see, oh, new browser. Oh, it's just Chromium with a wrapper. Right? Yeah. Like there's not... You know, not that there can't be room for innovation. That's the thing. It's like, I love that there can be innovation on top of the starting point of another product. I personally would like to see more credit given. And the scenario you described, like perhaps that's exactly what the FluentCart team did. They liked SureCart and drew inspiration from it. Maybe they didn't at all. Maybe they started from scratch. There's an accusation, though, that that's not the case. And at least for me, I have seen a precedent in our ecosystem and multiple occasions where people seem to copy and not, like one of the values of the project is credit where credit is due.
Well,
and
no,
that's what I feel
not,
like is missing.
That's one of the stated values, but it's not one of the actually practiced values. And I think that's the heart of the problem, isn't it? Is that if what's good for the goose is good for the gander, you know, like if the leader of the project is not going to respect in that sense, then... How can you expect, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, look at our own crossword history. We started out experimenting with a bit of a format. Then we saw what John Gruber and Ben were doing, and we liked that. And we changed our format to match that. We also called out that that's what we were doing. I don't know if we actually did initially. I'm like, it's been far enough back that I don't remember when we changed the format, if we called out our inspiration. But ultimately, we certainly did by having John on.
Yeah, but there's a difference between cutting your episode off of 15 minutes and copying.
Well, it's a product decision is what I mean. It was a product decision that we made.
Right.
Based on
but
inspiration.
There's still a big difference between that and just copying code. But anyway, yeah.
Sure.
So you're talking about browsers before. I want to quickly, we've got not much time left. I want to ask you whether you've ever used any of these AI browsers. I know ChatGPT... Atlas just launched. Did you get a chance to play with it?
Yeah, I played with Atlas a bit yesterday, and I'm a big fan in general of ChatGPT. OpenAI is kind of fascinating to watch as a company. My initial experience with Atlas was fairly negative. It wasn't really working that well.